This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have Ismini Saihola from OneSpan talking about understanding ethical AI in financial services. Oh my gosh, what a fascinating, fascinating topic here. And we're just scratching the surface here. So really cool stuff here from Ismini, so check it out. Buddy, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, well, we actually have an international call today with Ismini Saihola from OneSpan. Ismini, you're calling from, or we're connecting from, you're from the UK actually right now. So
yes,
how's life across the pond, as they say?
It's nice, a little bit dark and rainy, but other than that, fine.
Well, I'm so glad that we're doing this call today, because it's something that's kind of always been a big interest to me, especially when I did an interview like this a few months ago, where we're talking about the ethics of AI, the gender bias of AI, the sexist AI. I mean, it's incredible what artificial intelligence can do these days, obviously, good and bad. But in today's conversation, we're talking about understanding ethical AI in financial services. So I want to start with ethics and artificial intelligence. What's the connection here? What's going on here?
Well, Mike, like you said, AI and ethics in AI has emerged as a response to a range of individual and societal harms that can happen from the use of AI, and particularly its misuse, poor design, or unintentional negative consequences. And this, like you said, one of the main ones is bias and discrimination, which we can see essentially in every sector. And why this happens is there are several cases where this can happen. The first one is when we use existing data that reflect current patterns in our society. Mm-hmm. By putting this data into AI, we can sometimes amplify this type of discrimination. Or there are other times where the data and the features that are selected to develop an AI system reflect the preconceptions and biases of its designers. So if you have a certain perception of the world, you can put this into an AI system.
Right.
Other times, this can be we have insufficient data or data that are not representative or of our population. So imagine that you are building a transportation system for New York and then try to apply this in Boston. This is not going to work. The travel patterns are completely different. Mm-hmm. So we need to be mindful of these type of scenarios. And another also big risk with AI is, I don't know if you've heard the term of black box that is being used to describe AI.
No.
This is actually quite a new term that is being used for very complex AI systems that even its designers don't know why it came to a particular decision. Huh. So say, for example, that you are applying for a loan and you're being denied.
Right.
But because the AI system is so complex, no one can tell you why you got denied.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a little scary.
Well, it can happen, and sometimes we might have unexplainable or unjustifiable outcomes. And in case, for example, you are ordering a book or you are looking for a specific recommendation, of course, the impact is minimal. It Right. doesn't matter. You'll search again. But if it's on the medical field or on the financial field, then it might have bigger impact than that.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It really is. So this is where this ethics and trustworthiness in AI comes in.
So
to ensure.
Yeah. So is this something that's happening more often today? Because I mean, earlier in the year, this is the first I've ever heard about it. I mean, I was always under the assumption, and here I go assuming. We know what happens when you assume. But I always thought that, you know, of all the technologies, artificial intelligence would be objective or just based on the data that it knows. So, but I've been educated thoroughly in this area by you and other folks out there, like, oh, that's not necessarily the case, because so it's
well, you said it yourself. It's based on the data that it knows, and the data that we have might reflect current biases or discrimination we already have in our society. So exactly what we fit it in, if it's left unattended, this is exactly what the AI system will learn.
See, Ismini, this is what scares me about AI. If left unattended, it could run amok. Who knows? Oh my gosh. So let's talk about financial services or credit unions in this case, since that's our audience. So how does this affect financial services? You gave the one example about how it could deny you your loan application. And in some cases, nobody knows why. So how else can it affect financial services?
Well, AI today is used for onboarding, risk assessment, anything you can think of. But financial services is going to be one of the aspects that is most affected by trustworthiness in AI. And this in particular, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but the European Commission earlier this year released a proposal for regulations in AI, and it has listed credit scoring as one of its high-risk use cases.
Yeah.
And what this means is that providers of these services will have to be subject to a conformity assessment.
Really? Wow.
So they will have to prove that their AI system complies with the requirements for trustworthy AI before they are able to put it into service. And what this is, they will have to showcase what data they use, keep documentation, being able to trace how they train the algorithm, how they test it, what type of data they use, make sure that it is transparent, and that there is human oversight, so that it has been built with experts, both in AI and subject matter experts. Also, in case there's, like we discussed before, a denial, the end user will have the option to talk to an actual human and contest the decision that came from the AI.
Okay.
Of course, accuracy and robustness are also part of the deal of trustworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened in Europe earlier this year, but we expect to see this in the US and other countries to follow pretty soon as well.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, that sounds like a fair assessment because, I can't imagine something like this going unchecked. I mean, I think that's just, I think it's the logical way to go, I guess, to just kind of keep track of it. So it doesn't, like you said, it could go all crazy on us. So how far can they go down this path of researching consumers? Because I mean, you talk about it can go into the social media realm, digital identity, especially, I mean, again, getting back to applying for a loan. I mean, this can be a pretty deep well,
Actually, like you said, everything today is interconnected. We have cloud services. We can connect with our accounts from one service to another. There is a whole wealth of information about each one of us as a user.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the financial services want to utilize that, that's something I cannot say for sure. I imagine that if they wanted to use it, they would be able to.
Yeah.
But this is where transparency and explainability we talked about before comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a credit decision and it says, Ismini, you were denied because you don't have a high enough income per year. But if you increase it 10,000 more, then we would be able to give you. And that's a fair decision I can accept as a user.
Right.
But if you tell me you denied me because I made a post on Twitter or somewhere else, that's kind of irrelevant. So this trustworthiness and ethics in AI gives more power to us as a users to contest decisions and be able to judge if they are fair or not.
Right. Yeah. I would think there'd have to be some sort of guardrails, I guess, or some sort of, like you said, regulations, that type of stuff.
Right.
So let's talk about remedies here real quick before we close out. What ideas or solutions are out there to kind of, I guess, help this? Again, obviously setting up some guardrails and like the regulations you were talking about, that type of stuff. What else is out there to kind of keep this stuff in check?
We try to follow 5 main principles.
Mm-hmm.
And these are privacy, ensuring that the data and the users are kept private. We don't use anything that it's not necessary, and any sensitive data are kept secure.
Mm-hmm.
Robustness, making sure that the AI is resilient and secure against attacks, or perhaps changing patterns, like we saw recently with COVID, changing spending patterns and credit decisions,
mm-hmm.
making sure that it can handle all those changes. Explainability, like we said, knowing how and why AI came to a decision, it's really important making sure that this is not a black box and we have a right to contest any decision. Fairness, making sure that there is no bias. AI is accessible and fair to everyone, regardless of their race, sex, educational background.
Yep.
And transparency. Data and algorithms related to AI should be transparent. We should know how they work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, humans should be aware of when they are interacting with an AI system. There are a lot of cases you will use a chat box and not know if you are talking to a human or if you are talking to an AI. This should be clear.
Agreed.
And also developers of AI should be clear about its limitations and its capabilities. They should know which cases it handles well and in which cases there might be a need for a human oversight or additional safeguards there.
Mm-hmm.
These are the main principles we go by and we try to follow them into every AI system, not only financial services, but no matter the sector.
Yeah.
These are our guiding lights there.
And good ones indeed. Yeah. I mean, again, this is still so new to many of us, you know, because we're just a lot of folks and credit unions in this case are just venturing down this AI path. So, and the five things that you just described are going to be a huge help indeed to keeping things, like you said, the safeguards, the guardrails and stuff to keep everything on the up and up. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. This is I'm eternally curious about this stuff, Ismini. And so thank you so much for enlightening me, enlightening our audience. And anything else to add to wrap up here?
Well, like you said, this is a very new area and we need enhanced awareness around ethics and AI, not only from researchers, also policymakers, developers, subject matter experts, and also companies and financial institutes that look to invest in this area. Yeah. We should all come together and see how we can make this into an ethical and trustworthy way, because this is something that affects all of us as users and citizens. So it's in the best interest of all of us.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. All right, Ismini, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time. Oh, my gosh. Such a great education here, again, for something so new that we're just kind of scratching the surface on. So it's exciting and a little scary at the same time. But to have smart folks out there like you helping out, we're very thankful for that. So thank you
very much for having me. It was a pleasure to discuss with you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.